Musik von einem Menschen, der heute Abend im Privatclub auftreten wird und der bei uns jetzt im Studio ist. Er heißt Neil Thomas. Hi Neil Thomas.
Hello, how are you?
Neil Thomas ist so ein Typ, der ganz viele Sachen kann, ist in einem kreativen Umfeld in London aufgewachsen. Seine Mutter hat ihm früh Gitarre spielen beigebracht. Er war als Teenie schon ein preisgekrönter Beatboxer und trotzdem, ne, kreative Kids sind ja manchmal Außenseiter und oder halt eben schon der Star in ihrer Schule. You come from a creative surrounding, I take it. Your mom taught you to play the guitar very early.
Yeah, my mom kind of knew some chords and could play some old folk songs and stuff like that. I mean, neither of my parents are professional musicians. My dad, bless his heart, is pretty much tone deaf. Oh. but you know, they had a lot of records in the house and stuff like that. So that was a big kind of factor, I think, to me kind of being interested in music. And my mum taught me some piano as well when I was a little kid, so.
Well, she does play a little bit.
Yeah. But when I go round to their house, I always hear her playing the same classical pieces, and you can sort of, I know exactly where all the mistakes are, because she never works on the little bit.
It's your mum.
I know, I love her to bits, but I tell her, and maybe now that I've said it live on radio, maybe this will make her practice.
Okay, also Neil sagt, seine Mutter hat ihm zwar Gitarre und auch ein bisschen Klavier beigebracht, aber sie selber kann gar nicht so gut spielen, also er hört jetzt immer die Fehler, wenn er nach Hause geht, und er sucht immer noch einen Weg, ihr das schonend beizubringen. What was the first song she taught you?
Oh my goodness, I think it was probably like, you know what it was? It was Unemployment Compensation Blues.
What the hell is that?
And I don't remember the lyrics, all of them.
Is that like a left-wing protest song?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, actually. I don't even know.
That's what it sounds like. Couldn't be anything else, actually.
Yeah, I don't even know who it was by. I think maybe slightly before that, funnily enough, was House of the Rising Sun. And the studio that I am very fortunate now to have a little room in, called Rack Studios in London in St. John's Wood. Amazing place. The guy who set that up produced that song. It was his first ever production.
Wow.
So yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Also als erstes hat er einen linken Protestsong von seiner Mutter beigebracht bekommen und dann auch andere Sachen. Aber jetzt hat er sogar einen Typen getroffen, der diesen Song produziert hat damals, und der Kreis schließt sich auf jeden Fall wieder. Creative Kids. You were already a creative kid, no? When you were a teenager. Creative kids can be either the outsider in their class, or they're already this guy that everybody thinks he's gonna be the next big thing in some. What was your case?
I was just an attention seeker. So I was always like, I was the guy, because I had to take the train to school, and I was always the guy who, on a very quiet carriage, would just go, make a noise and like annoy people, and then everyone would look around, and I was always disrupting the class and everything.
So you were kind of like the clown in school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to find, you know, I was never like never a good footballer or anything like that. I think a lot of people, you know, with a good sense of humor like yourself, I think will probably find themselves finding that level in the class. You know, you have to
look for something else, no?
Yeah, because I think I've got less annoying over the years, I hope.
I feel the same way about myself. How did you decide in what direction you want to go?
I was mostly into sort of, I actually got into music fairly late. I was like 16 and I started, I bought a guitar and whatnot. And I bought an 8-track recording machine, and my friends would come over and rap. Mm-hmm. And I made all the beats with like a cheap sampler and play a little bit of guitar. And that's how I learned to do very basic beatboxing. Yeah, well, no, basically, I loved the Beastie Boys, and they had one song on, I think it was called B-Boy Booyabass on Paul's Boutique. And all they did was go, and it was so basic. I was like, I can do that. So I tried it. And then I sort of thought, maybe I could do something better. So I sort of learned like basic like kick and snare, like, and then.
Wow.
You know, and then that one's really good because you can go, you can sort of tune it and then.
I have to say, very, very, very basic skills, Neil. Anybody could do that. Neil hat gesagt, er war so ein bisschen der Klassenclown bei sich in der Schule und anscheinend ja auch irgendwie ganz beliebt da. Und deswegen hat er zum Beispiel dann auf dem im Bus oder im Zug, wo er zur Schule gefahren ist, dann schon immer irgendwie so Quatsch gemacht und wollte immer so ein bisschen Aufmerksamkeit haben. Also er war jetzt kein Außenseiter, weil er künstlerisch begabt war. Und später, als er dann angefangen hat, Sachen auch aufzunehmen, haben seine Freunde von ihm dann gewollt, dass er mal ein paar Beats macht. Und diese Beats, die er da gemacht hat, hat er euch jetzt gerade vorgemacht. Aber trotzdem ist er in so eine Singer-Songwriter-Richtung gegangen. Tell us something about the song that made you want to be a singer-songwriter. It's a Joni Mitchell song. We have it here.
Yeah. When I heard this, I was like blown away because before I was even interested in music, I was interested in like writing stories and stuff like that. And so when I heard the way she'd kind of compared different life experiences to nature, I guess is what, or, you know, she's got these, she's so clever. I mean, I've always loved the sound of her voice, like yes. Big Yellow Taxi and stuff like that. But when I heard this, I was like, right, I need to hear everything she's ever done. And it was the first one that made me think, if I can come up with like a neat and symmetrical idea mm-hmm. for a song. There was also another song that she had, what was it called? I'm not remember the title now, but she goes, the bed's too big, the frying pan's too wide, as a way of saying that it's like it feels weird when someone else isn't there. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was genius. And I think I came up with one of the first songs I wrote. My lyric was, what is it?
The pan is too big.
The bed's too small. it was something to do with like, I need a cigarette, but I don't smoke. So what am I actually craving? It was like, I was trying to rudimentally copy her sort of thinking process. So this song, Both Sides Now, is one of my favorite of all time. Every time I listen to it, I sort of marvel at the lyrics and the melody and her playing on it. And she's a genius.
Okay, also Neil sagt, der erste Song, der ihm so, das, was so die Initialzündung für ihn war, war ein Joni Mitchell Song namens Both Sides Now, den wir gleich hören werden, weil sie da auch von zwei verschiedenen Perspektiven anfängt, diesen Song zu schreiben, und darüber hat er vorher gar nicht so nachgedacht, hat das aber später auch immer versucht, nicht nachzumachen, aber zum Beispiel in seinen Songwriting-Prozess mit einzufügen. Wir hören uns den jetzt an, Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now, dann sind wir wieder da. Rose and Flow. Hallo? Aufwachen. Can you guess what aufwachen means,
Neil? Wake up.
Wake up. Exactly. You already learned a little bit of German.
That isn't actually the version.
Ja, Joni Mitchell fing ja gerade an, Both Sides Now zu singen, und Neil hat gesagt, wow, cool, die Jazz-Version, das ist meine Lieblingsversion. Nee, stimmt nicht. Er meinte so, oh nein, die Jazz-Version. Die andere ist, glaube ich, kürzer und gitarrenlastiger. You didn't actually fall in love with this version here.
No, I mean, like, you know, that's her sort of jazzy orchestral stuff is like highly critically acclaimed, but the stuff that really turns me on is the more kind of jangly,
the basic guitar folky stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, upbeat, and she's got an amazing energy to her voice before, you know, she her voice went down about an octave, you know, and she became like this kind of smoky singer. She was, you know, she's like a songbird. It's amazing. So if you're listening and you don't understand why I was so keen on that song, go and check out the album version of Both Sides Now, because it's such a beautiful version.
Anyway, also, that's my favorite. Neil empfiehlt euch auf jeden Fall so, guckt euch mal die Gitarrenversion, die alte, die Originalversion an von Joni Mitchell, weil das hier ist so ein bisschen das Alterswerk mit Orchester, bevor der letzte Vorhang fällt, so ungefähr. Und das ist nicht die Version, in die er sich damals verliebt hat. Nichtsdestotrotz hat Joni Mitchell ihn dazu gebracht, doch auch seine Karriere ein bisschen zu starten, beziehungsweise anzufangen, Songs zu schreiben. Und wir haben es schon mal erwähnt, seine Karriere hat unter anderem schon so eine Elemente drin wie Beatboxen für Matthew Herbert und mit ihm um die Welt touren oder auch Songs für Castingshows schreiben. Wollen wir mal wissen, warum er dann eigentlich irgendwann nach vorne auf die Bühne gehen wollte? You did beatboxing also for Matthew Herbert, ne?
No, I was the lead singer.
Oh, you were the lead singer?
Yeah, no, it was...
He was the lead singer for Matthew Herbert.
Yeah, just make sure you get that one right. No, it right. was an amazing experience. Like, I was actually asked to be to go on tour and beatbox and play guitar with him.
See? I wasn't completely wrong.
No, you weren't wrong. but what happened was his wife at the time, Danny Siciliano, was the lead singer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, they decided not to work together anymore. Mm-hmm. And a couple of days before the first rehearsal, I got a phone call. And he said, right, we need a singer. You're the man. Huh. And it was like, I'd never really considered myself as like a singer, you know. Uh-huh. I played a bit of guitar, whatever. I wrote a few songs, but
was it like in the movie Little Voice?
Basically, it kind of came out of nowhere. And except Michael Caine, he's in that, isn't he? Michael Caine's in that,
is he? I just know that Bubbles isn't it?
I might be wrong. That's a good Jane Horrocks, isn't it?
Yeah, Jane Horrocks.
Yeah, it's a great film. Go and check that out.
Okay, but afterwards, you started writing songs for casting shows. No, you wrote songs for pop stars or something like that.
So yeah, basically after the Matthew Herbert tour, it gave me the confidence, you know, because suddenly I was playing in front of tens of thousands of people at festivals and stuff. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I could do this. I need some material. I'd like to do my own shows. So I wrote a few songs and, I put them on the internet, and a guy at a publishing company got in touch. And, yeah, I ended up sort of, writing some songs for some like TV shows and stuff like that. For the contestants to sing and stuff like that. And that's how I kind of, I ended up getting signed in Germany, because I was doing something for a German TV show.
Ja, Neil hat angefangen, wie gesagt, mit Matthew Herbert um die Welt zu touren, hat dann irgendwann den Sängerposten auch gekriegt, weil er mit Dani Siciliano nicht mehr zusammenarbeiten wollte. Später hat er Songs für Castingshows geschrieben und irgendwann ist er dann aber, an den Bühnenrand nach vorne quasi gefragt worden, weil er in Deutschland dann bekannt war und dann hier einen Plattenvertrag bekommen hat. Was there a point when you doubted that this was what you want to do at some point?
I don't know. I think in the last like 5 years, I think the internet's just sort of gained more and more power in the music industry. And I've got to be honest, if I was starting now, I don't know if I would be as brave as to go, right, I'm going to go for it. You know? Yeah. But back then, I think it was like, if you put something on the internet, probably if it was any good, people would hear it, as opposed to it getting lost.
Yeah.
So, I think I was lucky to just start doing it at a time where it wasn't so competitive.
But was there a down point at some point where you felt like, is this really what I want to do with my life?
I've been pretty lucky. I don't really think so. No, in fact, the more I did, the more people just sort of encouraged me. Maybe they were just being nice, but but yeah, no, I've been incredibly, incredibly lucky, and right. You know, especially in Germany, like it's a lot less. I think people can have long careers here, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, you know, there's fantastic turnover. Like, there's lots of creativity. Everything changes.
That's true.
But as a result, you end up with you're in 1 minute, you're out the next. So I think, you know, it's been fantastic to meet some of the people who are so positive here. And I've done shows, and everyone loves music here. So, yeah, the answer is no. I don't think there's been a low point. Maybe it's yet to come.
But that's great. Neil hat irgendwie in seiner Karriere relativ viel Glück gehabt. Also ist immer wieder was Neues passiert und es hat ihm ganz gut gefallen. Und eigentlich war er auch nie so wirklich an einem Tiefpunkt. Das hat ihn heute jetzt nach Berlin gebracht, wo er im Privatclub seine EP vorstellt. You're not just gonna play your EP, because that's like 4, 5... How many songs?
No, the EP is just 4 songs.
Yeah.
I think that's about how much I could manage producing it on my own.
so that means that you're just going to play 4 songs? No.
No. I've got a full set, and I'm doing the show actually with a friend of mine. I've brought over a guy called Ben Jones, and he is one of the best musicians in the world. I mean, he's absolutely, if you check him out, he used to have a band called Diva Geek, and he's worked with Layla Hathaway, and he's just amazing. And he's going to be playing synth bass with one hand and triggering drum pads with the other hand.
All right.
So he's playing bass and drums at the same time.
What does he do with his feet?
Makes sandwiches.
Great. Yeah. That's your new best friend.
Yeah, cheese sandwiches, obviously.
Toll. Geht unbedingt heute Abend in den Privatclub. Es gibt jemanden, der mit einer Hand Bass spielt, mit der anderen Hand, ich weiß gar nicht mehr, was er, Beats, glaube ich, programmiert, und mit den Füßen macht er Sandwiches. Und wäre vielleicht auch interessant, weil er relativ neu ist, Daniel, jedenfalls auf der Bühne alleine. Ist er ein Typ, den man hinterher anquatschen kann oder nicht? Oder verschwindet er gleich wieder hinten im Backstage? Are you somebody who's approachable after the show, or do you need your space?
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody comes up to, the first person who comes up to me tonight and says howdy doody, I'll give them a free air guitar. Right, that's a promise. It's a competition.
Howdy
running.
Doody.
Yeah, they have to say howdy doody.
Okay. Yeah. After the gig.
Yeah, after the gig.
Okay, yeah.
Not during it. That could just be really awkward.
Screaming but, yeah. All the time, though.
But I mean, I've got the air guitar here.
Right.
So it's in tune, as you can hear. So yeah, it's ready. It's ready to go.
Okay, Neil, ihr habt's gehört, ne? Wenn ihr heute Abend in den Privatclub geht, dann ist der Erste, der ihm nach der Show quasi Howdy Doody sagt, der... Ach, findet's dann raus, was ihr dann von ihm kriegt. Wir hören noch einen Song von ihm und natürlich sollt ihr noch rausfinden, hören, wie ihr da überhaupt hinkommt. Ihr ruft einfach an auf dem Fluxophon, also 030 2000 9000, um heute Abend zu Neil Thomas in den Privatclub zu gehen. Wenn ihr überhaupt noch nicht wisst, ob ihr da hin wollt, dann hört ihr euch jetzt noch einen Song an, den er möglicherweise nochmal hier etwas einführen wird, bevor wir ihn anmachen. Neil, we're gonna listen to a song called Close to Your Heart from your EP. Any famous last words before we let you go do the sound check?
No, thank you very much for having me. Thanks to anyone who's
Please who's listened say to me. Something to that song.
Oh, about the song. That song got me my record deal, actually.
Wow.
Because I wrote that on the trip that I was supposed to be writing songs for the TV show, and I ended up just keeping it for myself. And the guy who was choosing the songs for the TV show turned out to be the wonderful man, Ken, who got me my deal.
That's a pretty good story.
Yeah, so great. Here we go.
Also, das ist der Song, der auf jeden Fall dafür gesorgt hat, dass Neil Thomas seinen Plattenvertrag bekommen hat. Das heißt, mit diesem Song hat er schon andere Leute überzeugt. Wenn er euch jetzt damit überzeugt, dann ruft uns an, Fluxophon 030 2000 9000 und dann geht ihr da heute Abend hin in den Privatclub zu Neil Thomas. Thanks for stopping by, Neil.
Thanks for having
All
me.
All the best.
Bye.
Bye.